Beulah Land and the Song of Heaven that you just heard is on the far end of the spectrum from what we're talking about this morning. For God's people, yes, we will. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of being where our Lord is forever. We will enjoy the pleasures with Him forevermore, the psalmist said. But this today is a very sobering, serious, I would even dare say scary portion of Scripture, in the sense that God pulls the curtain back and lets us see the end judgment that is to come. You would never know about this were it not for the Word of God. You would never know about this had God not allowed you to have the Scriptures. The Apostle John saw these things in vision form while he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. And that's why you'll see in the beginning of many of these paragraphs, "And then I saw," as we begin in verse number 11 of chapter 20, he says, "And I saw." So what he saw was what is going to happen in the future. It has not happened yet, but this is Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Let's read it once again. These five verses. "Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it. From His presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books," plural, "books were opened. Then another book," singular, "book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Now this morning I'm continuing my series on what about. Someone asked me this week about the great white throne judgment. And this morning I want to talk about the great white throne. And the question that should concern you and me: does it affect me? Does it affect me personally? Will it affect me personally? And will it affect people that I love? So what effect will it have upon me, you, me? Those five verses that we just read, these are sobering verses. place it up there on the projection just for these next few moments. This is the Word of God. This is speaking about the end of time, right before chapter 21, when there's the new heavens and the new earth. This is the last event that takes place having to do with this world. Satan, a created being of God, and all of his demonic entities, all of his demonic demons, fallen angels, they're dealt with, but now God's creation of people. John saw this great white throne judgment. The book of Romans calls it the day of wrath. The book of Jude calls it the judgment of the great day. Romans again calls it the day of judgment. Paul in the book of Acts chapter 17 says that God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. It is a day that will come. A day that will, as it says here, be the day of all days of man being dealt with by God about his sin. R.C. Sproul said that modern man is betting his eternal destiny that there's no final judgment. There are people, maybe sitting in this room this morning, people that you love, your loved ones, that they are hoping and betting that this won't happen. But it will happen, as the whole of Scripture points to this. The whole of Scripture says that this is going to take place. There are four brief things, and I know we've gone longer than we normally in our service. And it's already 15 till 12. I'm not going to quit at 12. It might be a little bit after 12 before I finish. But I think on this day, August the 4th, 2019, which I believe God has destined this day for this purpose, and for every person that is sitting here, I think we best listen to what the Word of God says. There are four things that I want to point out to you in the Scripture here. First of all, I want you to see the setting that is described. There's a setting here. Let's see the setting. Let's take it in. Let's imagine it. The setting is, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. That's the setting. Someone has said that these three words, great white throne, that it speaks of its greatness. That throne towers over every other throne. This throne, it possesses universal jurisdiction over the entire created order from the beginning of time. This great white throne overrides every decision of every lower court. It is great in its power. It is great in its authority. It summons, and when it's issued, these summons are irreversible. Its verdicts are final. Its sentences cannot be overturned. It is the greatest courtroom in the history of the world. And it's called White. Great White Throne. Great speaks of its power. White speaks of its purity. It is a court of absolute holiness and inflexible justice. All of its judgments are perfect. All of its verdicts are perfect. There is no injustice in this throne. There's no partiality in this throne. Every sinful deed will be presented as it actually was. The secrets of men's hearts will be exposed and presented exactly as they were. There's not going to be any exaggeration in this courtroom. And every bit of evidence for every sinner, every thought, every mind, every motive, every deed will all be presented exactly as it was. I'm continuing to read what this one preacher said. The word throne speaks of its purpose. It's a judge's tribunal. This throne is a seat of judgment. Every word, every wrong, every evil will be presented here and will be judged. Every injustice will be made known here. And it will be brought into account. The book of Psalms, Psalm number 9, verse 7 and 8. But the Lord abides forever. He has established His throne for judgment. You hear that? He has established His throne for judgment. And verse 8 says there in Psalm 9, and He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. By the way, who is this one sitting on the throne? I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. This, my friends, is the Lord Jesus Christ that is seated on this throne. He is seated. That means He's actively presiding. He is enthroned. He is ruling. He's reigning. And He's ready to judge. Because the Scripture identifies this person as the Lord Jesus Christ. John 5:22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. Peter said on the day of in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, Peter said as he was preaching, verse 39, they also put Him to death by hanging Him on a cross. God raised Him up on the third day. And then it goes on to talk about God has appointed Him as judge over the living and the dead. Romans 2:16, on the day when according to my gospel, Paul said, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Acts 17 that I mentioned a moment ago, verse 31, God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man, capital M-A-N, a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when the lamb becomes the lion in the sense of judgment. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was prophesied and He came as the lamb without spot or blemish to die for the sins of His people. But now he is the lion. I was reading where someone said that a lion captures its prey by his mighty jaws. And once his prey is caught, he crushes his prey and conquers his prey and consumes his prey. And in that same way, one day, the lion of the tribe of Judah, all will be captured, all will be crushed, every unbeliever outside of himself. This great white throne judgment, it is an awful sight. Awful. In the pure biblical word, awesome. Not like we use it today, but it is an awesome sight. So we can't comprehend what this is going to look like, but it's described here. The setting is described. It's a great white throne and him who's seated on it. And it is so awesome that from his presence, the earth and the sky fled away. There's no place found for them, much less the people that are going to stand in just a moment. So that is the setting that is described. Number two, I want you to notice the summons that are delivered. The summons. You might have gotten a summons before. Maybe a law person knocked on your door and gave you a summons. Man's summons and the law's summons down here can be disobeyed. You can take the summons and throw it in the trash. But the summons here, nobody is going to be missing from this great summons. Because it says in verse number 12, I saw the dead. They've been summoned. They've been summoned from the grave, their physical body, or if their physical body has been burned, or their physical body been lost in the sea, or their physical body is no more, still their physical body will be resurrected, the scripture says, to be given an eternal physical body, one that will be able to suffer eternally. It will never die. And the summons is also for those in hell. Those that are now in hell. Their souls are in hell. Hell is only a temporary holding place. It is a prison house. Just if somebody commits a capital crime in Bibb County or Peach or wherever, when they're arrested, they are not sent to the federal penitentiary, but they are sent to a temporary holding place called the county jail. It's confinement. It is jail. But it's temporary. Until the person's case comes up. And they are tried. And they are sentenced. And then they will be put in the federal penitentiary to serve out whatever term, or if they're sentenced to death, or whatever the case might be. Everybody in hell right now, every person that has died in their sins up to this point is in this temporary place that Jesus spoke of in Luke 16. Their bodies are not there. Only their soul is there. And one day their body and their soul will be reunited to stand before the great white throne judgment. No Christians are here. Our judgment was settled on the cross. The power of the cross we sang about. That's where God's justice was meted out on our behalf. for every person that will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered and He took all the punishment in our place. He made propitiation with the Father, satisfaction with the Father on our behalf. But here these are going to be summoned. Those that are dead in the sea, their physical body, while their soul is in hell, but their body will be resurrected. It will be brought back. And the same thing of those that are in hell, they will be brought, and there will be that reuniting there. No one will be absent from the summons. It says there that I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Nobody's missing. Great means like Alexander the Great, or about Napoleon the Great, or the great figures in the past, the pharaohs, the great in stature in this world. They will be standing there right beside the small person, the insignificant, the poor. The great and small are all standing before the throne. That leads me to the third point. The sins are disclosed. Every sin will be disclosed. Every sin will be revealed. Now, I don't know if it's going to literally be written things, books, like it's described here. But nothing else would have made sense to people in that day when it was written. We know today that everything is digitized. It's in the cloud. It's recorded. It's there. But all the world judgment and the fires and the great cataclysmic things that will happen at the end, if it burn up every official document on this earth, it's still recorded in heaven. Every sin is recorded. Every thought, every lust. This is the unsaved person. It's all recorded. It will all be regurgitated one day. It will all be seen one day. Some might think, like this gentleman here, that they'll stand before God and they'll talk their way out of trouble. Ask anyone who knew me. I was a good man. But the angel will go to the place where the books are, and he will bring down from that shelf a book. And your name will be on it. Yes, you. And your sins are all recorded. They're all indexed. They're all cataloged. They are dated. If you think a courtroom in our society today, with all the boxes and boxes of files they bring in, sometime on a pair of trucks, stack after stack after stack of evidence, do you think that God is not as thorough? That God has every, not only the things that we did in public, but the things that were done in private, the secrets, the lies that are going to be unwound at this time, it's all going to be in the books. The books were open, that's plural, in verse number 12. But it tells us that these people, They are going to be judged by the books, by what is written in the books. Look at the last part of verse 12. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Look at the last part of verse number 13. They were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. You say, well, if these people are unsaved and these people are going to be consigned to the lake of fire, what does it matter? How much evil they've done or all that they have done? Why go through? Because the Scripture teaches us, and I've not got time to look at those verses that Jesus spoke of in the Gospels, that it is better for some than others. The more light a person has, the more severe the judgment. Now, hell is going to be hell, eternal suffering for everybody, but there will be degrees, evidently, of judgment that will be poured out. And how, I don't know. But Jesus said that there are certain cities that they will have more judgment upon them because than Sodom and Gomorrah, because Jesus spoke to them face to face. And Sodom and Gomorrah did not have that privilege. More light, more judgment. More evil, more judgment. More severe. So for time's sake, let me hurry. Exhibit A is the books. And the unsaved will be judged, determining their punishment, the severity of their punishment, according to Exhibit A, all that they have done. But Exhibit B is a book. The book. The book of life, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown or she was thrown. They are thrown into the lake of fire. That is the fourth thing that we see this morning. The sentence is delivered. The sentence thrown into the lake of fire. This is what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 25 and 41 when he said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Do not fear them that have the power to kill the body. Fear him who has the power to kill and destroy the soul and the body in hell forever." The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:30, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Verse 31, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The sentence is everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. For all who are outside of Jesus, outside of Christ. If today you do not know that Jesus is your safety, you must run to Him. You must believe upon Him. If today you're walking the broad way that leads to destruction, that's where all the fun is. And that's where you think about, I want to walk on this easy way, this broad way that leads to destruction. I'm pleading with you today, turn and turn around and go to the narrow gate that leads to life. Jesus is that narrow gate. He said, "I am the door, And any man that enters into me, he'll be saved. Jesus is our only hope. He is our only answer. He is the only place you can run to and be safe. And believe upon Him. Believe His gospel. Believe that He died in your place. Oh, what an awful picture this is. What an awful day that's going to be. Some wonder, will we that are saved be able to view this? Oh, I don't know that I would want to view this. This will be an awful, awful thing. I'd rather be viewing Beulah Land, experiencing the joys of the Lord and the pleasures of the Lord forevermore. Why are you here this morning? Why are you hearing these words this morning? Why are you seeing these words this morning? One reason, because of God's grace to you. God's mercy to you. Today, by divine appointment, you are here. I am here. I am preaching this. We have looked at this. And today, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Come to Christ. Believe upon the Lamb of God today. Or you will face Him, not as the Lamb of God, but the Lion, the judge, who will say those words, throw them in the lake of fire. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment. Understand something today, friend. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to play upon a person's fear to try to trick them to make a decision. That is not what I intend today. But you ought to fear, especially that one outside of Christ. You ought to fear. And what about your loved ones? What about your mama and your daddy? What about your boy, your girl, your brother, your sister, your aunts and uncles and your cousins, your good friend that you work with, or your good friend that you grew up with, that you stayed in contact with? What about these people that are the closest to you? Have you warned them? Have you wept over them? Have you wept talking to them? Have you shown the love of Christ to them? Not trying to make them make a decision or pray a prayer or something like that just to get out of hell. But pleading with them to repent of their sin, to turn to Christ, to believe upon the Lord Jesus. Oh, may our hearts be burdened for those loved ones, lest they experience this one day. And oh, for you that's sitting here today, and you, if you were to die right now, this would be you at the end of time. You die in your sins and experience hell, the torment of hell now, only to be let out for a short reprieve to be judged and sentenced to eternity in the lake of fire. Oh, turn to Jesus today is my prayer. Let's all stand and let's sing together about the Lamb of God.